Hello, everybody. It's really nice to see you all again this week. It was weird because last week was, because of the different time zones, it was like 4 o'clock in the UK. And now it's 5 o'clock. I was on here ready at 4 o'clock because I'm just confused. So this is week 9, Living from the Inside Out. Michael's video topic was a return to health, and I guess that's quite an interesting one for me because I've been quite healthy for most of my life. I haven't really had anything that's been a major significant problem for me. So when I was trying to think of what Michael was asking for about an example in life where my body has healed itself, I was struggling a little bit. But it was interesting because it's been a long time since I've seen this video. It was the way that Michael explained that how does the three principles already apply to our health, instead of how do we apply the three principles to our health. That was interesting. The way he explained certain states like dodgy hormones and being tired and brain chemistry and pain. What I took from that, which was new for me, was when he explained that whatever happens in life, there is whatever happens to our body. And then whatever happens in our experience, and they're two different things. So I was trying to remember what experiences I'd had. And I kind of get it with headaches. So if I have a headache, and I'm aware of the headache and I'm aware of the pain of the headache, I understand that sometimes when I get involved in something, sometimes when I get carried away with something, then I now notice that the pain is no longer there until I start thinking about the pain again, and then it comes back. So for me, that's a really kind of simple example. But I in my own life, I don't really have much of an experience of more significant physical problems. But what I did remember was a challenge that my dad had when he was in his, I suppose, mid-90s. I used to look after him. I think I might have talked about this before. But I used to look after him, used to care for him. And my dad had a lot of things wrong with him by the time he was 95. And he had arthritis really badly, he had colon cancer, and he had some kind of degenerative bone disease in his back. So he was in an awful lot of pain pretty much all the time. And I remember what I used to do was I used to go and visit him, and I've said this before, I think, but before the principles, before I understood about the principles, what I used to do was I used to go and do his washing, cleaning, cooking, that sort of thing. But I always used to sit down and have a conversation with him, and he would always be really, really tense and really unhappy. And that used to express in the way that he used to shout at me quite a lot. And I resolved to, okay, so I just need to make him as comfortable as I can. And to cut a long story short, what he used to do is he used to get angry about things. He used to get worried about his health. And I would try to engage him in conversation to try and fix him, to make him more comfortable. And when I came to the principles, I began to understand that what my dad was experiencing was, he was experiencing all this pain And he was living in this pain. He was living in this world of pain. And he could see no way out of it. And what I was doing, I think, again, this is just me, it's not a prescription, by saying to him things like, okay, so what we need to do is we need to get you to see a doctor. And then we can, you know, get you to hospital and we can have this looked at and we can see what we can do about it. And I never knew at the time, I didn't understand, but it never really did any good. It never helped him to feel comfortable, which is what I wanted. It never helped him to feel as though there was some kind of hope for it. I mean, I talked about lots of things, and when I look back now, I think that was kind of focusing him back right in the direction of this world of pain that he was in. So what was interesting was when I understood what was going on, or at least when I suspected what was going on, I engaged him in a conversation that lasted for a couple of hours. And what I tried to do was I tried to listen. I tried to listen to him without having any judgment, without having any, without needing to fix him. Because I think some of that was about me. I kind of wanted to fix him. And so what I did was I just sat with him and was as present as I could be. And didn't jump into the conversation, and just loved him. And what over the next 2 hours, what happened was really interesting to see, because I mean, my dad had dementia as well, and that was sort of what one of the things that was giving him pain, because he couldn't get the words out, he couldn't think of the words that he wanted to say, so. He was in all this physical pain and he was in this angry, frustrated state as well. But when I showed up and just sat with him and was present with him and allowed him to naturally talk and to naturally slow down, over the period of time, it was really quite interesting to see, in as much as without me doing anything, and without him doing anything, his thinking naturally slowed down. And when his thinking slowed down, he became much more articulate. The dementia, the level of dementia that he was experiencing at the beginning of the conversation seemed to get so much better. And halfway through the conversation, he began talking about things like his childhood and his family, his sisters, and then he talked about the war. And he visibly relaxed. He visibly reached a point where what I see now, looking back, is that he'd managed to find a place. What he was experiencing was not his pain, not his world of pain, not all the things that were wrong with him. He was experiencing something different in his thoughts. And that settled him to the point where he was totally, it seemed to me by the end of the conversation, he was oblivious of the condition that he was in. And that to me was a really good example. I only just thought about it after watching the video, a really good example of what was happening in his body was terminal. You know, he wasn't going to recover from that. And it was obviously an extremely painful extremely painful thing for him to go through. But his experience throughout the conversation, throughout the 2 hours, changed. And as his experience changed, as his thinking changed, his whole demeanor changed. His body, as Michael was saying, was returning to a sense of balance. It obviously was not going to make it the full way because, you know, it was, but his body was doing what it knows how to do when we haven't got this stuff going on in our head. I realize now what I was doing was I was pointing him back to the pain. I was revving his mind up. I was making it worse. So it seems to me that was a perfect example of how our body will, once we let it settle, once we stop trying to guide the plane, the training plane, it will allow us to go back as close as we can to health, or at least comfort. Now, I'm pretty sure that as soon as I left the room, he would probably begin thinking about the problems again and thinking about the pain that he was in, and he would be in a different experience again. So for me, from then on, it felt like that was part of my caring job, was to be able to sit with him and allow him to slow down enough for his body to begin to make him more comfortable. So although I don't have any direct experience apart from the headache thing, I really did see it in my dad. And I'm so grateful that I was able to see that and come to the understanding when I did, so that it could help. So I'm quite aware that what we'd like to do this week is have more time for you guys to come and give your comments and questions, and we'd really like to know where you are this week. So I've tried to keep my ramble pretty short this week, but so Mo, what was your reflections on that?
Well, that was beautiful, Steph. What I was thinking right there towards the end of what Steph just said about, he knew probably when he left the room, his father went back into that state of thinking about his pain and his illness. And it's just, it's the same as what we're doing here in living from the inside out, which is what the direction we're pointing everyone towards in this. And today is a little bit more pointed towards health, but it could be our finances. It could be relationships. It could be anything, family. And it's when you're in it, like Steph was there with his father, present at that moment, at a different, that soul-to-soul level, when you're really connected to that source in you, the God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, it makes it easier, and there is more ease in it. And there's no right or wrong in it. It's just there, and it's okay. And then when it comes, so it all comes back to the same answer. It's the same feeling. We're just putting a different label on it. And like this week, I see it as health. And I think we can all look back in a part of our life and see it even before we knew the principles or anything about it. And we're able to reflect and go, wow, I can see where that happened to me too. And now I can see I really had no control over it and everything was still okay. And when I first saw the video that Michael, I mean, I have a list of things I could tell you where all that panned out great for me. Because years ago, you know, the doctors told me I'd be under a doctor's care the rest of my life. I'd had all these surgeries and things go wrong. And it was just like, and I just one day just looked at him and said, I'm out of here. I didn't want to be sick. I didn't want that life. That's not what I wanted. And just walked away and went back to working and dealing with my children and my family and just never really looked that way again. That's been 30 something years. But a couple years ago, I got the flu, and it was right around Christmas time. And I got the flu and the fever and, you know, the whole diagnosis. You go, they biopsy, you know, do a little swab, whatever. And I had it for about a week, about 5 days. And I was supposed to be getting ready to go on a trip. And I thought, well, I can't get on the plane because I can't go a whole 60 seconds without coughing. And I had fever and just felt terrible. So it's like everybody who called, anybody who emailed, it was like, I'm sick. I've got the flu. It was like, in a way, I enjoyed it. It was an excuse not to work, not to have to do anything, to just sit with myself. And then all of a sudden that trip was coming up at the end of the week. And it was, I remember I was supposed to leave on a Thursday and it was a Tuesday. And I just thought, there's no way I can go. I got to cancel the plane, got to do everything. And then all of a sudden I thought, no, I want to go. I'm going to go. I'm not going to be sick anymore. And it was weird. It was like the next day I got up, no more fever. You know, within 48 hours, I was on a plane. I had a bag of cough drops because I was afraid if they heard me cough, they'd kick me off. Not one cough. And went on the trip. And it was beautiful. And it was like, oh. It was just, in a way, it was physical. But there was another part of it that it was just part of my consciousness. It was just part of my thinking. And another little quick thing, the other day, my grandson wanted to spend the night with me and he had had a cough. And I kept saying, now, Eli, as soon as you get over your cough, you can spend the night with me. Because I knew I didn't want to be up all night with him coughing. He's five. And so my daughter said that night, she heard over his baby monitor in the middle of the night, about 4 o'clock in the morning. She heard him talking in his room. So she walked in there and she said, Eli, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? And he goes, my cough. I told him I'm tired of him. He needs to go away. And so then that my daughter goes, and Mom, the weird thing is, I haven't heard him cough all day. He's not even coughing anymore. So even, and that sounds kind of crazy, but even at his age, he knew, okay, I've had enough. Now go away. In his own little world, his own universe, what he sees, he saw it as a thing and he told it to go away. And his cough went away and he spent the night with me the next night and he was fine. But what Stephan, I really want to hear from y'all. We want to hear more from what you're seeing, what you're hearing, because we're only reflecting on how we see things. And what we see may be different than what you see, but it's all still okay. We're all pointing back in that same direction. It's finding the three principles, doing the super coach with Michael and learning the three principles just totally changed my life in every way. I still have my moments. Like last week, I got on a little rampage. But I knew within an hour or two of it, it all just went away again. I knew it was my thinking. It was me getting caught up in something out here that just really, I didn't need to go there. And years ago, I would have thought myself as a victim. Oh my God, look what they've done to me. Look at the, you know, and now it's just like, poof, it's okay. But we really want to see and hear more from y'all. If you're seeing anything, if you're hearing, if you're feeling anything, if you're not, if you're confused, I kind of want to see where y'all, what you see. It could be something in the present. It could be something in the past. Just be a reflection. Because this program is for y'all. It's not for Steph and I to sit here and tell you a bunch of stories. It's really to see what you see. Because that's what we're here for. That's what we're interested in.
Okay. That's really lovely, Maureen. Thank you. Thank you, Steph, as well. I see Winston has his hand up. So, Winston, I'm going to unmute you and lower your hand. Over to you, Winston.
All right. In 1989, well, first of all, Steph, like you, I've been really fortunate my entire life, which has got a few years on it now, to be very healthy, much so, more so than anybody around me. In fact, if I go to the doctor or anything like that, and they're like, okay, give me your list of medications. And I said, I'm not on any. And they said, well, good, give me your list of medications. I said, I don't take any. And they're like, really? Anyway, let's back up to 1989. I was had an amazing experience with trauma in an accident, and I could give you the list if you want, but some really amazing things happened during that. I felt like that the first thing that happened is the universe looked down and said, okay, dude, you're not listening to anything else I'm sending you. Watch this. we're gonna change your life, you know? And I was knocked off of a building. I was doing construction at the time, and my trauma surgeon said he thought I'd fallen 35 feet. So that gives you an idea of where I was. And as I look back on it and learn, one of the most basic instincts that we have, which is fight or flight, is one that I experienced to a great degree at that time. I was hurt pretty bad, and it took me probably a year of rehabilitation and so forth, but my body healed itself. The innate qualities, the innate abilities that we have came through, and my body healed itself. And I mean, it took a while, but my life changed at that point. And I've been on a mission ever since that got really serious in 06 and gets even better to today. And as I watched Michael's video and as I listen, Steph, to you, you know, I'm trying to relate the three principles, which are having an amazing effect on me, to my knees, which aren't doing so good anymore. Well, is that pain in my head? No, it's definitely in my knees. And I've never had this situation before in my life. And it's just interesting. I've also studied energy and breath work and some other things. And I'm going to a doctor a little bit, not a lot. They want you on that medical merry-go-round that I'm really not interested in, because there has to be a solution somewhere. Or maybe I just got to live with it. And then the big question mark in my mind right now is, you know, how does the three principles relate to that, which appears to be very real? Okay. But I live with it fine. I mean, I just want to head it off in some way. And I would love to be able to apply the three principles to that better. Because most mornings when I wake up now, and I've been blessed with living in a little piece of paradise, at least for me. And I wake up and go downstairs, grab my coffee, sit with my kitties, and open up the back of my house, and it's just gorgeous. And I just sit, and I'm trying to learn the reflection piece. But the feeling that I get inside when I think about the three principles and how they work and the basis of things is one of expansiveness. It's hard to explain. I'm not sure anybody truly can explain it, because it's totally a personal thing. It's just wonderful. You know, there's a piece of knowing that everything's going to be all right, sometimes in spite of myself. So That's a number of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as I say, I haven't had that experience that you've had, Winston. So I'll be honest and I'll say I'm not talking from my experience. All I'm talking from is what I've seen, I guess. And you know, what Michael has talked about in the video, which makes total sense to me, is the fact that there's a separation between, in your case, for instance, there's a separation between what is going on with your knees and what your experience of life is. So
that's well stated.
I think the way I see that, and believe me, this is just me, the way I see that is that, and whatever's going on in your knees is going on anyway. You know, they may be healing, they may be not, I don't know. But when you're experiencing the pain in your knees, that experience of pain is coming from your consciousness. It's when the pain in your knees is filling your consciousness from your thoughts. So it sounds, I really hate the way this sounds, but it's like with my headaches, when I stop, when my headache isn't in my consciousness, isn't in my thoughts, when it's either something I'm doing that distracts me from it, or I'm asleep, or whatever, I'm not, that headache is not in my consciousness. It goes away. So I have a quick question for you, in as much as, is that pain there with you all the time? Is it, are you conscious of it every minute of the day?
No, absolutely not. You know, I'm not. Interesting, as a result of the accident that I had, a trauma surgeon said that he would be surprised if I didn't experience migraine headaches, which was a problem that came on and was severe for years and then eventually slacked off. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people, you know, talk about it, you know, that, you know, it's like somebody's sticking knives in the back of your eyeballs. You know, that you just, no light, you know, I could only go into a dark room and lay quietly till eventually, with medication and so forth, it kind of went away, and it gave me a new appreciation for something that I just could not understand before. And that too has become truly a minor problem, but can still be one. And that can be an overwhelming thing. I mean, it's hard to describe to a point where you can understand that.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. And for me, the way I see that, the way I see, once we understand that, okay, it doesn't happen 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. So as Michael was saying, if it's just 1% of it not happening, then it can't be coming from, you know, your experience can't be coming directly from your body. It has to be coming from your thinking, your consciousness, your awareness of whatever it is in the moment. And for me, and this is the crucial thing, and it seems to me this is really crucial across the board for the three principles, when it comes to pain, when it comes to depression, when it comes to anxiety, is that once we see that our experience is separate from the body, if you like, then it's like I'm in a cellar, I'm in a dark cellar, and I'm in pain, and I think this is going to be how it is for the rest of my life, for every minute of the day, for the rest of my life. This is all I can see. And for me, there's something about understanding that's not true. That there's, it's possible to have an experience that doesn't include the pain, even if it's not, you know, even if it's just in the background pain, it's possible not to have to experience that pain all the time. And it, that for me is like going from being in the cellar in the darkness to having some hope that it isn't as all-encompassing as it looks. Just having that little chink of light to know that it's not happening how I think it's happening, that there is something that I am a party to creating that pain, to experiencing that pain, and that it's not entirely my body, which I can't do anything about. There's something that I'm contributing to that allows me to have hope, that allows me to see a little chink of light. And that for me, that little chink of light, the hope that actually it's not the way I thought it was, and that my thinking has a lot to do with it. And I can have a new thought. That it is possible that I'm not going to be stuck in this like this forever. That for me is the value of this understanding, because once we see that chink of light, there's something new on the table.
That's an interesting way to put it, because when I had the accident, they didn't know if I was going to make it. Well, I never considered that an option, you know, and I always knew that I was going to get better and things are going to be okay. Yeah. That part was never an issue.
Yeah.
It was just going to take some effort and time.
That's cool. So what are you hearing in that, Winston? I mean, as I say, that's completely my take on it. That may be at odds with the principal's police.
I'll give him a call.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. But see, I had a subdural hematoma too, so I have brain damage, and that's my excuse now. It doesn't get me very far, but it's my excuse now. What am I hearing in that? The foundation.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Winston. We have Peter. Peter, which I'm going to unmute you, Peter, and lower your hands. Hello, Peter.
Hello, yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Good. It was very good timing, this, actually, Michael's video this week, because 2 years ago I had a fairly routine hospital procedure which went wrong, and they perforated my duodenum when I was in hospital over the Christmas period. And I was due a similar sort of operation, but because of that previous experience, I've been kept putting it off. But the procedure, it was quite an invasive procedure I had yesterday at the hospital. And I don't think I've ever, although I'm aware that the thinking is the cause of the pain, I don't think I'd ever experienced it firsthand, but I was very conscious that throughout the hour procedure yesterday, there was no sedation or anything, that there would be times when I would try to consciously think of something else, even though the procedure was carrying on. And there's no doubt about it, throughout that hour procedure, the pain levels were totally different at times. There was times when I was on the table and I wasn't experiencing any pain whatsoever. And then when the consultant would talk to me and I'd have to think about the operation, I was experiencing pain. So it was very, very encouraging to actually experience firsthand the fact that it is solely the thought, it is solely what I'm thinking, even though for that whole hour the procedure was taking place, I was very aware that I could almost forget about the procedure and take my mind somewhere else. And the pain was, I didn't even notice the pain. And I don't think I've ever experienced the three principles in relation to pain as I did yesterday. I think underneath all of that as well, which is what I've picked up from the call so far, is that no matter what I'm feeling, whether it's physical pain or anxiety, etc., I think it's something that Maureen may have mentioned last week, that there's no right or wrong, and it's all going to be okay. And I think that undercurrent of that just makes life so much more, it's just not quite as fearful and a bad place to, when you get in bad places, the fear doesn't sort of go to the depths it has before. So that knowing is it just gives me personally, and as I'm sure it does many other people, so much comfort. So I'll say Michael's video was very, very good timing, because I did put it into practice almost almost the following day, and it was nice to experience it.
That's nice, Peter. Thank you for sharing that. That reminds me of something. I don't know if I should tell y'all or not. I might be banded. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Years ago, I had part of my colon removed. And so after that, I would get these terrible, terrible pains. They would just come from nowhere in my stomach. And it was such a strong pain. I don't know if anybody's ever had a pain that kind of just, it's like you can't even breathe. You have to sneak in a breath of air because the pain is so strong. It's like you cannot breathe. It hurts your chest. It hurts everything, even though the pain is low. So I got where I would, this is where I found the principles, right? So I would hold my hand a couple inches above my stomach, and in my mind I would imagine that like angels would come and pull this pain out of my stomach. And really within about 2 minutes the pain would go away. Okay, so in my mind I thought these angels were really coming and pulling this pain out of my stomach. But now after learning the principles, which I still believe in angels, what I see and what I think I heard Winston say too, when he talks about his knees, sometimes he feels it, sometimes he doesn't, is when our mind heals, everything's okay. It's when we get all that chatter and all that noise and all the other stuff comes in, then that's when the pain creeps back. But when our mind heals and we can see things in a different light, the pain goes can go away in what I've experienced at times. And sometimes it hasn't always worked. But for a good part of the time, it does. So thank you, Peter. Because, Con, I think what you were saying too in your mind, you're okay. Yeah. When you're okay here, and see life on a different plane, kind of, with a set of ease, it does make me feel much better. Thank you for sharing that, Peter.
Yeah. You explained it so much better than me, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Okay. We have Sean up. Sean, I'm going to unmute you and lower your hand. Hey, Sean.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah. I switched switched my laptop because I think the microphone was broken, the other one. And you've got to hear me. It's mine's a little bit different, I suppose, because obviously I put that thing on the Facebook group about kind of not getting it last week and having a real kind of paddy moment, I suppose, of where it was going. And I think that the thing that kind of stimulated that was I was rereading The Space Within, and I kind of lost sight of why I was reading it, and I was trying to almost read it with an analytical mind, with a purpose of what I was going to get from reading it, and you know, there should be stuff in the hidden in the words and this kind of stuff, and I kind of got frustrated because obviously I wasn't getting that feeling that I had when I first read it. And a couple of comments that people have made, I think Thomas and Rachel and so on, I'd kind of put replies onto the post, and I don't know, that it kind of just I'm just trying to think of the best way to I stopped reading it for trying to get something out of it, if you know what I mean. It was, yeah. I thought there's no point approaching it in that way. I've just got to kind of sort of read it, and bits that jump out might jump out. If they don't, I'm just kind of rereading it. I was sat in a cafe the other day, and one of the things that kind of got me about the frustration was I was watching some birds out in the sky. You know, you get like all the starlings that fly in the formations. And it just kind of came to me, and I thought, well, no one tells them it's time to migrate and do all that flying. They just know. It just kind of happens, and they, you know, it's something that kind of works. And I thought, you know, that almost was what I needed to do, was just let it kind of wash over me, and things will kind of come when they come, rather than trying to force them in through the academic processes, you know. I just think this week now, I just feel I can see now the frustration that I was getting, and how that was coming from me trying to find stuff that, you know, just wasn't there to be found at that time, I guess, you know. It was just weird the way it kind of clicked, you know.
That's really, really cool, Sean. That's really cool. I loved everybody's comments on the Facebook page. It was really beautiful to see how everybody, you know, sort of came in with their point of view. When I saw your post, I was reminded of the time when I first came on Living from the Inside Out. I've probably told it right at the beginning that I read the book three times, thought there's definitely something here, but I got really frustrated because I couldn't see past getting it. I couldn't see past wanting to get it. I couldn't see past all these other people having such profound insights and changes in their life, and I wasn't seeing it. I knew there was something there, and that was frustrating. What seems to me sometimes, I think, and again, this is me, sometimes I think there's the language doesn't help. You know, when we talk about getting this, to me that feels like, you know, so I need to get it, when we are already it. It feels like getting it feels like it's a place we want to get to that we're not at now. And when we think there's somewhere we need to get to be happier, to be more complete, we suffer. There's a distance. It feels like there's a distance between where I am and where I want to be. So for me, getting it has kind of changed. I see that I already am it. We are already it. We are already a living, breathing, articulated example of the three principles. And exactly as you described, if I have an intellectual desire, a want to be somewhere that I'm not now, then that's just filling my head full of noise that is preventing me from being in the moment, being in that space, being in that feeling that we're always talking about. It's a real tricky one. Difficult thing to get hold of. But I, you know, there's lots of things in the principles. There are words that are used that make sense later on. Things like getting it and things like having the understanding. You know, it all feels like somewhere that we want to get to. But when we're in that place, when we touch that space, we all get it, we all do it. When we touch that space where we're settled and we're calm and we have clarity, that we are it. There's nothing to do. As Sid said in his, you know, in his recording, he said, you know, if you're driving along and you've got a tape in the car and all of a sudden you drop into the feeling, he said, take the tape out, throw it out the window, because you're there. You have got everything you need in that feeling. There's nowhere to get to, nowhere to be. That is everything.
Yeah.
And sounds like you found it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. Yes. I think it was in my pocket somewhere. It was kind of...
Along with the toffees and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the hair bobbles. Not mine, obviously, the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Simon.
Hello, Simon.
Hiya,
how are you doing? Yeah, I think the key word for me from, I think it was Steph or Mo said it, is sometimes. You know, I guess sometimes we see it, sometimes we get it, sometimes we're thinking, sometimes we're in pain, sometimes we're not. You know, I've been... sometimes I'm really tired when I haven't had any sleep. Sometimes today I'm tired and I had a great night's sleep last night. But it's kind of, the key word is sometimes. So if it's sometimes, it's not constant. And if it's not constant, it's not absolute. And if it's not constant, then it's not the truth. You know? So we're left with what's the truth? And then we're into love again. And, you know, that's my favourite support. Yeah. So we, you know, and we are it, as you say, Steph. So we just don't see it.
Sometimes
we see it. Sometimes we don't.
Simon, I get up sometimes in the morning and sometimes, and I think, I really don't have a clue. I do not understand at all, you know.
Yeah. I do.
I know loads of people that have been doing it for a lot longer than me that have that. I think what I love what you say, because it's being comfortable with that. Being comfortable with it.
And sometimes, Simon, I'll say, all of a sudden it'll be such a peace and a calm. I'll go, oh my God, this is a beautiful feeling. And all of a sudden it's like a wave coming. And I'll go, wait a minute, where'd it go? Wait a minute. What was that I was just thinking that made me feel so good? It's like a wave just comes and takes you off. But I know it'll just come back again. And I think we said it last week, it's not a doing, it's a being. There's nothing for us to do. It's just being. And last week when I told you about the guy that passed away, the guy was helping take care of, and it was kind of a really profound week. It was had a lot of beautiful moments, but it was very heavy on me also at times. And so I would come home at night, a couple nights. I remember just lighting a candle and sitting in the corner of the living room and looking out the window at the moonlight over the yard to see if I saw any animals walking around. Because we kind of live in the country, so we'll see deer and things like that walking around the yard. So I was just trying to get a glimpse of some life moving around in the yard. And I don't know why, I've never done this. I got up and I ordered a Christmas tree. One of those pre-lit Christmas trees. Well, I don't believe in that. You have to have a real tree, you got to smell a tree, right? I order a pre-lit Christmas tree. So the Friday before Halloween, right? Because this is all happening Halloween week. I ordered this tree, and 2 days later, this big old pre-lit Christmas tree comes to my house. Put it together, and I have it at my living room window. And the kids come over, and my daughter goes, Mom, you've got Halloween blow-ups in your front yard. There's a skeleton hanging at your dining room window, and you've got a jack-o'-lantern next to your Christmas tree. There's something wrong with this picture. Said, no, isn't that beautiful? And even the little grandson, the five-year-old, goes, Mo, it's not Christmas. You can't put up a Christmas tree. I said, yes, you can. I said, you can do whatever you want. Isn't it beautiful? And it was just like, oh. There's no wrong or right, right, Simon? Put up a Christmas tree before Halloween, makes you feel good. But to me, it just brought that light, that feeling, and there it is. I had a Christmas tree for the trick-or-treaters.
Well, there's 12 days of Christmas, about, all right? And none of them are in November. Sometimes. But there's never, never anything to do.
Right.
So that's the truth, because that's constant.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you, Simon. Chris, your hand was up.
Well, Simon really said it.
Oh, really sometimes.
That was the thing that was showing up for me. And yesterday, I was talking with Wynn Morgan, and we were talking. I was sharing with him about some self-inflicted wounds that I had created for myself, and some of the things that I had been just trying to work through and talk through with him. And he reminded me of something that I wanted to share with the group, because it came back at me again. He said, point A, you know, we spend a lot of time getting from point A to point B, but when you really look at it, A, B, C, they're all the same. And I think in the context of health and the things that we're talking about here, sometimes you're sick. Sometimes your knees hurt. And what stands out for me is that thinking makes us aware of that pain. Thinking for me makes that pain worse, because I go, I'm at A, I need to be at B, or I can't be sick right now. What if I can? I mean, thank God I'm not, but what if I can? You know, what if where I am and is right where I'm supposed to be? And sometimes I don't see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway, that's what's showing up for me. But I really, what Simon said really resonated with me. Steph, what you've said really resonated with me. I mean, the conversation here is really thinking makes us aware of our pain. Thinking makes it worse when we think we need to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
Mm. I love the way you link that back, Chris. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And it makes me think of what Mo was talking about, you know, the rules that we have around Christmas, the rules that we have about, okay, so I can't be in pain if I'm going to do this. They're all, like you say, they're all self-inflicted. They're all rules that feel so real that there's no wrong or right. We create so many rules. You know, I need to be a certain weight. I need to eat less. Mm. You know, there's so many rules that we create in life that it makes such a difference when you see what they're made of. Mm. You know,
very true.
You see that they're an illusion. So, thank you, Chris. Mm. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Chris.
Give my regards to Wynn when you talk to him next. Okay, have we reached that time?
We've got a couple of minutes left. And this is not usually me at all because I never speak. But it reminded me because
that's a rule I made up,
and I never. I'm usually hidden somewhere. But it's interesting because Steph and I met Steph last week for lunch, and we had a kind of conversation that probably dipped into this. And it was about I'm really settled with if I'm not feeling so great, because I always see that chink of light and it's okay with me. And people will often say to me, oh, and now I want to get you out of this. And I'm like, no, leave me in it. I'm okay with it, because to me, it's always a journey. And, it, you know, whether it's a happy one or a sad one, I always feel, no, there's an ending. And it's what life is about for me. You know, it's just the peaks and valleys and whatever. And, you know, but Steph and I had a lovely conversation last week about that kind of thing, didn't we, Steph?
We did. It was precious, really precious. Sacred conversation. Thanks, Sparkles.
Thank you.
Sparkles, by the way.
Yeah.
No one knows her, isn't it? Her real name is Sparkles.
Sparkles, yeah. Anyway, well, we are actually at 10 o'clock now, so I don't know if you...
Okay. Do you want to say something, Mo? Do you want to wrap up for us?
Just the one thing I thought of the other day was... No, I'll save it for another time.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll unmute everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.